everybody, and welcome to the Blade Runner Minute. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
This is Minute 7. It starts out with some sort of interview. And they're talking about a tortoise.
Well, and this is already into the interview, because we saw the beginning of the interview.
Well, that's how the minute starts. He's asking about
the tortoise.
He's still
in the interview.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's got to start somewhere.
Doesn't mean that he starts the interview.
I didn't say he starts the interview. He started it when he asked him, you're in a desert. Or he just stated, you're in a desert. I don't think we mentioned that in the last minute.
What one? Yes.
Maybe we did mention it.
But here, so it's not starting the interview. Is the interview is continuing, and he's setting up the rest of the premise.
And it's tense, man. It's tense. They're glaring at each other. They're staring. It's getting sweaty.
The tester's taking these really long drags of a fat cigarette. Yeah. He's like,
the close-ups are making me nervous.
You see the sweat on them and stuff like that. That's not a comfortable looking room.
So he asks him. He tells him, you're in a desert, Leon.
You see a tortoise.
What's a tortoise? Why doesn't Leon know what a tortoise is?
He may not know what a tortoise is.
How could he not know what a tortoise is? Then he says, I've never seen a turtle.
And then he goes, a tortoise is like a turtle. It's the same thing. And he's like, I've never seen one anyway.
So he's clearly a replicant. Is that the point of this? They're weeding out the replicants?
Possibly. Why doesn't he know what a tortoise is? We don't know yet why this world may or may not know those things.
Well, that's why I'm asking that way. I'm being a jerk because... I know in Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep,
they're endangered or extinct. They're very expensive.
The whole point of the movie is he wants to save up money to buy a new animal. Sheep, right, or animal, or whatever type of animal. But that's, they didn't make that connection.
I just assume he was dumb.
Yeah, they didn't make that connection in this movie yet. The guy doesn't
know, he's talking like, what one? I assume that he's just not the sharpest fellow.
You never seen a friggin' turtle before? I don't care, like, you know,
he may not, when he says, he doesn't know what a tortoise is, I assume he ain't too swift.
He ain't too swift.
He says, I've never seen a turtle either, but he understands. Yeah, I was like, okay, so he knows what a turtle is, doesn't know what a tortoise is, but he's never seen a turtle. It's like, that's weird, he's never seen a turtle. So who doesn't go to a zoo and see a turtle?
Right, but the same way
they're outlawing, like, circus animals now, they're also outlawing the big animals in zoos in today's world. So, okay, maybe they don't have that.
What did they do? We went to the Big Apple Circus, and you told me that was the last one?
Barnum and Bailey Circus.
They won't let them use the elephants or the lions?
They weren't letting them use the elephants, so their sales had gone way down, so they're not allowed to use any big animals in any circuses. They're eventually going to not let them use anything but, like, little animals, like dogs, I guess.
Wow.
Most circuses are leaving the animal world, maybe some like horses, but very rare.
Wow. Is that a good thing? I mean, I'm right off the bat, I think, you know, we got kids. I like to take them to the circus, see an elephant, see a big animal. But
you
got to
figure a big animal really shouldn't be in a little tiny cage. But they're starting to get rid of the big animals in zoos as well. They can't be in enclosures. If it's on a big safari type area, they're a little more lenient with it. But they generally don't want animals...
So I don't want to get into a debate about it or anything, but you're smarter than me. Is that a good thing? Or... Who cares?
Elephants. It's sad not to see the elephants.
Elephants don't pay my rent.
Not to see them in a circus, but they're such a large animal. They really shouldn't be confined like that. The same way I feel about like a big dog in an apartment. Like, you shouldn't have like a German Shepherd in someone's one bedroom apartment. They need room to run. You can have one of those little teeny tiny dogs that bark at everything in an apartment, but...
So you had him as a puppy. He's in your house. He doesn't know anything but you. You're the love of his life, you know? He doesn't know that there's big yards.
I know, and I think that's part of this.
So the elephants don't know either, aren't they born there and immediately sold to the circus and they grow up there? They don't know that there's giant African fields to run in.
See, but that brings up the point in this movie. Like, if the replicants don't know anything but what is their life of slavery all the time, they suddenly have the intelligence to know, so they mutiny. So it's the same thing. Like, if they've never known and they don't have anything about them that could tell them, then how would they know?
Wow, you think there's this deep-seated depression in elephants and big dogs in apartments?
Maybe they feel like they're missing something. Maybe that's why dogs, like, will sometimes attack a master or, like, a random person on the street because they don't even know what's missing, but they know something's missing.
Wow. Well, that's so sad. I never thought about it that way because I don't really care, but...
For a second there, you cared.
Well, listen, I don't want to...
Born free.
I don't want to hurt an animal. That sucks, but I do like eating animals, so I'm kind of torn. Mm.
Well, now they found out that trees in the forest communicate stop with it, each just other. Stop it. Like the grass that brings the pheromone out.
That's the Lord of the Rings minute. You're in the wrong podcast, wrong show.
No, they found out they communicate underground networks and stuff like that.
Okay, good for them.
Okay.
Good for them.
Moving on, back to this
minute.
The
dialogue gets echoed while they're talking to each other.
And there's like weird sounds.
It's this, I don't know if it's supposed to be...
I figured it was like pressure on the brain.
I don't know if Ridley Scott was trying to tell us that this enclosed area is making us, the viewer, so... almost slipping into this dreamlike state because there's no oxygen in that room. That weak ass fan isn't doing anything. It's smoke clogged or logged. What's the word? Smoke clogged? Smoky.
Go on.
And it's just I'm getting dizzy just watching this pressure build between these two characters.
And you saw Leon's body start to like
he's get leaning
really
forward,
tense.
He's glaring.
And his
staring,
neck goes into his chin goes into his neck, and he starts to like.
So that
not
echo
twitchy,
is what
like
we're
click.
Hearing? Or is that echo what Leon's hearing? Or is that echo what this interviewer
I think it's
is
supposed
hearing?
To be the mood of the room. The interviewer definitely
beautiful,
looks
beautiful.
Annoyed.
Ridley Scott.
Like, let me just do my job.
Ridley Scott in the 80s. Maybe the 90s, too. Because Gladiator was like, what, 2000, 99? That man knew his shit before Prometheus. Did he direct Prometheus?
I have
go,
no
do
idea.
Do it right now. Let him wait. Let
oh,
them all
my
wait.
God.
I want to know if Ridley Scott did Prometheus himself. Or if he, like, farmed it out.
Okay, do you think Ridley Scott may have... Do you think he did the story? What do you think he was part of?
I don't know. I just want to know what he did on Prometheus.
Well, that was 2012.
We found out they shut down...
directed by Ridley Scott.
Ugh, garbage.
Written by Damon Lindelof.
Yeah, I know, the
John
lost guy.
Whatever.
Yeah, piece of crap. Don't spend too much time on it. The day we saw Prometheus was the day we found out what they closed across the street. My favorite Japanese...
Oh, Yoshinoya. It was the only Yoshinoya east of the Mississippi. Yeah.
Brought my friend out.
The mighty Mississippi.
My brother. We went to see Prometheus. We thought it was going to be a good alien prequel.
For the people who don't know, Yoshinoya is a Japanese fast food that gives you these rice bowls with this
like Panda
vegetable.
Express almost, right?
No, they only really have like two things on the menu. But they give you these vegetables in this white, goopy, clear-like sauce.
Oh, it's so good.
With like a veggie, and then there's a meat on top.
Yeah, and we would very rarely go there. We'd go there like once a year.
No,
so we went there. We went there the specific day to see Prometheus, and then get Yoshinoya. Prometheus sucked.
It was the
Yoshinoya,
only reason to go to that theater.
And paid like $40 for parking. Prometheus sucked, and Yoshinoya was closed. So
sad state of affairs.
I don't even want to do this podcast anymore. I don't want any positive vibes going towards.
But if you
Ridley
live
Scott.
West of the Mississippi
oh
and you get
God.
A chance to go to Yoshinoya, we love you.
So yeah, the guy knows how to make a movie at this point of his career, huh?
Yeah, it feels stressful. Like you feel uncomfortable. The tester in
you hear the heartbeat.
The tester is annoyed. You kind of get the feeling like he already has his answer.
There's this music in the background. I don't know if it's supposed to be the music. I don't know if it's supposed to be the score, I mean, or if it's supposed to be the sound effect from the machine, but it's just like, it sounds like when they hit a saw. And yeah, this wibbly-wobbly sound in the background. It's like almost cheesy, but perfect. And the sound from the machine, the testing machine. Mm-hmm. It just adds this tension to the scene. It's perfect.
It is. It's very tense. It's very tense. It's very uncomfortable. As a viewer, it's very uncomfortable. And the close-ups of their faces, that they're not showing this big room, they're showing them and their responses.
So
Leon looks like he's going to jump out of his skin.
So he tells Leon that there's a tortoise on its back.
Yeah.
And it's baking in the hot sun. And you're not helping, Leon. And Leon
gets so mad.
Leon responds with what I'm going to respond with from now on. Whenever anybody, if anybody has a conversation with me about me not doing anything, I'm going to automatically respond with, what do you mean I'm not helping? I'm going to say that immediately for Noah. Pete, can you help me with this bag? What do you mean I'm not helping? Pete, can you vacuum this? What do you mean I'm not helping? I'm going to do that immediately.
Oh my God, my whole life's going to be filled with, what do you mean I'm not helping?
Oh man, he just jumps
out. Did you fix the closet?
What do you mean I'm not helping? That's good. And we find out what the test is.
Yes, the test is there to provoke an emotional response.
Wow.
And you would think Liam has an emotional response. Like, what do you mean I'm not helping? He clearly
seemed like
looks
an emotional
upset.
Response to me.
Yeah, but
so Leon's not a replicant. Obviously, because of that emotional response. So
what else is the machine testing?
I'm glad the movie took care of that for us until like, Leon's not a replicant.
There's all these other things around them. Is it just testing your answer or the way you answer?
We don't even really know what the test is yet. Hopefully they tell us in the following minutes so we could find out. But maybe it's an older test and Leon's beating it.
An emotional response. He is being emotional. He is showing emotion.
So if the point of this scene is that this test that is supposed to provoke an emotional response, if the point is these Nexus 6s, these replicants, aren't supposed to have emotional responses, and he is having an emotional response during the test, then we got a problem. These robots are having emotional responses now. So what they're feeling things. They're getting PO'd.
Yeah, but if they're intelligent, would that matter? Like, they... Listen, I know a lot of cold people in my life. Being emotional does not mean that they are more or less human than anyone else. So, and if you're smart in any way, shape, or form, can't you fake it?
I'm not really comfortable talking about faking it. It's not something that I'm looking forward to discussing. The minute ends with the interviewer calming Leon down by explaining, it's just a test. Oh, he asks him, do you make up these questions? And he stops everything. And all the tension eases. The music kind of goes away. The echo goes away. The shots loosen up. It's not as tight, focused anymore.
The tester smiles.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's a test. The questions are written down for me in answer to your query. It's designed to provoke an emotional
response. That's how you're going to talk to people at work now, right?
In answer to your query, I was napping. I don't think we left anything out.
And if we did, then we're just stupid, and you can leave a comment that we're stupid.
Sounds good enough to me. I like it. It's a good minute. And can't wait to see how this ends. I'm assuming they're going to shake hands and just
have lunch. Maybe they'll split those sandwiches.
I was just about to say the second sandwich, because there's like two halves stacked up on top of each other. Obviously, one of them is for Leon, and they're just going to leave. It's a short movie. It's good.
That's a good movie.
So I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And we'll catch you down the road with minute 8 later.